Use your mobile phone to get 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. 7 at 7, weekdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Monday, which means it's time for First and 10 with your hosts, Vinny Bonsignor and Sam Gordon.
What's good, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Vegas Nation First and 10, your Monday go-to for Raider news and analysis. Before we get to the show, I just wanted to say that First and 10 is brought to you by the Las Vegas Review-Journal and presented by Blue Wire. Without further ado, I'd like to bring in my co-host, Sam Gordon, my teammate here at the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Vegas Nation, VegasNation.com. Sam, the Raiders made a moderate move, I would say, to address safety. I would just say the safety position. Can't claim it as the free safety just yet. But they brought in Carl Joseph over the weekend. Actually, I think it was official on Friday. Your thoughts on the Raiders reaching back a little bit in their past to bring back somebody that's going to help in that secondary?
Yeah, Vinny. Again, happy to be back on the First and 10 podcast. A little surprising, right? Not necessarily one of the first names that came to mind, but after everything settled in, you know, it makes sense, right? A veteran player that is familiar with the Raiders, with the franchise, with the needs of the franchise right now. I played for John Gruden for a couple of years and is still only, what is he, 27 years old? Going to be 28 by the time the season starts. So, yes, while he's a veteran, a seasoned veteran, he's still only 28. He's still fairly young and still has some good football ahead of him. I mean, he started 8 games for the Cleveland Browns last year, a playoff team, right? Been in the playoffs, had some experience being part of a playoff team. So, yeah, like you said, we don't know if he's the free safety yet, but he's a veteran defensive back that I think is going to help at the very least provide some depth, and he has some familiarity with what the Raiders are as a franchise and what they're about.
No doubt about it. And a couple of things, just you know, doing some due diligence over the weekend. This signing does not preclude the Raiders from drafting somebody. In fact, I'd be shocked if they didn't address safety again in the draft, specifically a free safety type, you know, single high center field type free safety that can really fit in Gus Bradley's defense. Carl Joseph has played that position at times. I tweeted out, I don't know the exact numbers, but, you know, close to 1,500, if not more, of his snaps that he's played over his career have come at that free safety position, that deep safety position, including, I think it was over 300 last year in Cleveland. The one interception that he had against the Washington Football Club last year came as that single high deep center field safety. Actually made a really good play on that play. Although Dwayne Haskins, I can see why.
Dwayne Haskins helped him out a little bit.
Yeah. It was just a really bad read. But anyway, you know, Carl is back with the Raiders. A couple things, you know, if you look back at his career with the Raiders, he actually played reasonably well. You know, he wasn't a Pro Bowl player or anything like that, but, you know, a good solid
quality starter.
Yes, exactly. And really, the parting of the ways wasn't so much talent. It was more about availability. You know, he hasn't been able to play a full season, at least with the Raiders. And then that 2019 season was limited to 9 games because of an injury. You know, he played well that year. And I think that that's really what struck the Raiders, that, hey, when he was on the field, he, not only was he getting the job done, but he was actually improving. And this is what, you know, Sam and I keep reminding people, guys get better. You know, you can't just judge a player on first a couple of years. Sometimes it takes a little while to get just settled in on what you're doing. So he was an ascending player. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to stay on the on the field. But here's Carl Joseph talking on Friday about, you know, coming back to the Raiders. Here's Carl.
Yeah, we spoke about it. You know, roles change. But my focus right now is just come in and do my best and whatever is asked of me to help the team win. Obviously, Coach Gruden and Mike Mayock have been building a real good team. And I've been paying close attention to that while the year I was gone. All the pieces are there. I think we're ready to win. And so whatever I'm going to need to do to help us win, that's what I'm going to do.
And that's Carl Joseph, the Raiders' new safety, old safety, you might want to say, talking about any kind of a role that he might, whatever role he might have with the Raiders. And there was a key sentence there, Sam, and this is why I tend to think that the Raiders have probably been really upfront and honest about, hey, you know, we're not done at your position. But he said, hey, roles change. You know, so I am reading into that like, hey, there's no guarantees that you're going to be the starter. There's no guarantees that you're going to play the same position that you played here. Roles change. But, you know, I'm sure that's been articulated to him. And it sounds like, Sam, he's open to that.
Yeah. And that makes total sense, Vinny, right? Like, like you said, I expect the Raiders to address the safety position in some way, shape, or form in this draft, whether that's their first round pick, which, you know, I think right tackle might be a better use of the first round pick, or in the second round. You can still get starters in the second round, but that doesn't mean whoever they draft is going to be ready to plug and play in day one right away, right? And by bringing in Carl Joseph, at the very least, you have a veteran player that's been a starter, that's played free safety, that's played strong safety, that's played all over, that's been in the playoffs, that's done a number of things in this league, that's familiar with the Raiders and John Gruden. They know what to expect from him, John Gruden and Mike Mayock. And whether that creates, whether it's just about creating some competition and figuring who out who's going to be the starter going into the season, that's fine. And whether or not the you know there's a rookie that comes in and starts, I think that's fine too. At the end of the day, depth is never a bad thing. And what the Raiders did is they brought in an experienced player that started for 5 years in this league that's still theoretically in the prime of his career. You're adding that to a defensive backfield that you expect to be better this year regardless because of the internal player development from some of these young players. So regardless of what they choose to do in the draft, I think Carl Joseph is going to have his opportunity to play and he's going to have his opportunity to compete. And again, I think the Raiders are a better team now than they were when we recorded our last pod last Monday. It's not maybe the name that many of us expected, but they have addressed that position. They've brought in the safety with Carl Joseph, and at the very least, it's going to create some competition in training camp going into the regular season.
Yeah, and just a little insight talking to people over in Henderson, and one thing that's always sort of pointed out to me, the season's 17 games now, and this goes to like the Kenyon Drake signing, kind of like. I hope people understand that we're playing 17 games this year. You know, like why would you go get a nice salary to a running back too when you already have Josh Jacobs? Well, there's a lot of ways they're going to use Kenyon Drake. I'm going off on a little bit of a tangent here. We're not talking safety, we're talking running back, but obviously Kenyon Drake's going to be a part of the operation period, exclamation point, whether there were 10 games or 16 games or however many, but so he's going to be a big part of this offense. So that, justifies the signings, or that's the main reason behind the signing. But also, and this goes to the defensive line, this goes to running back, this goes to, bringing in a guy like Willie Snead, in addition to John Brown, and a Carl Joseph. And I would suspect that there's going to be some more, moves post, draft, and also obviously in the draft. But when you're playing now 17 games, I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but keep in mind you have to the perspective that you have to use is guys are tired as it is going into week 16, right?
No doubt,
game 16. So now you're adding another game to what's already a very taxing regular season. So and early on in this whole process for free agency, a few of the people that I talked to were like, a lot of this is going to be about depth, and everyone kind of understood. Number one, it's important, like you said. Regardless, depth is huge, but when you add another game onto the docket, it becomes even more essential. Sam,
no doubt about it. No doubt about it. This is going to be an unprecedented. This is the first ever 17 game season, right? So we are venturing into uncharted territory. It's going to be kind of a new thing, and I know it's just one game. And yeah, what's the difference? It's different. It just is. And by having a more depth, by having another proven safety, by having another proven running back, whatever it may be, John Brown, whatever, I think the Raiders are better off for it. And it also reaffirms, I think, a belief in some of their young players and what they already have in place, that those guys are going to be able to take steps forward, moving forward, and then in their approach to the draft, in which there are positions that they need to nail, again, right tackle. And I think, again, they would be wise to take another safety. I don't think Carl Joseph is a long-term fix. I still think now is a good opportunity to go in there and get somebody long-term that can grow and blossom with this young secondary and that can grow under Gus Bradley. But no, right now, I mean, Carl Joseph started 8 games last year for the Cleveland Browns. He was a starter with the Raiders before that. He knows what it takes to play at a high level and to win in this league. And having him a part of the fold over the course of 17-game schedule, I think bodes well for the Raiders, regardless of how the draft shakes out.
And for anyone, if there's any added perspective that's needed, especially when you're talking about these young players, we always assume that it's the older players that are more vulnerable to injuries and wear and tear. But the reality is younger players are just as susceptible because their bodies aren't used to playing this type of a season. And go look at games played for some of these young Raiders. And I think that you'll see that, whether it's just bad luck or, just the how long this season really is, guys are susceptible to injuries. And just to wrap it up, keep in mind in college football, your season usually ends, like the regular season part of it, usually ends right around Thanksgiving, maybe another week because of the conference championship games now. So right around that first week of December, it's done, the regular season. Then you have a long layoff basically until the new year. If you're playing a bowl game, you'll get out there another 2-3 weeks later, but you still have a nice little break in between. Now you put that into an NFL perspective, you're playing through the first week of January. And if you make the playoffs, then just, do the math after that. This season, the NFL season doesn't end. And this year it won't end until, February 13th, I think it is, somewhere around there. So to just let the mind play with that a little bit and why it's important to have depth and good players across the board, because guys are going to get hurt. Guys are going to get tired. You want to do it proactively where you're where you're sharing snaps so that guys can get through the season better, but you're also having insurance just in case somebody actually does go down for a game or two, which is inevitable. And the more good players that you have from 1 to 53 to be able to, start, cover, insurance, whatever the case might be, the better off you are. Real quick, one other thing about Carl Joseph was coming over to a new system. He played under Paul Gunther those last couple of years with the Raiders. He goes to the Cleveland Browns. He comes back. Now he's, playing in Gus Bradley's system. And I asked him, about his fit in this 4-3 cover 3 defense of Gus Bradley.
Yeah, I think so. We had a good long talk yesterday, man. I have a lot of respect for Coach Gus. Very smart dude, obviously proven in this league and been successful, know what he's doing. So I'm excited to be a part of it and playing his defense, man. And, I played in a similar defense in Cleveland, so it won't be too much change for me. I think I'll be able to grasp everything pretty quickly. But I'm excited to work with him and learn from him.
Please check out our new 7 at 7 newscast weekdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Get every bit of local news you need in 7 minutes from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
A couple of things. I've been saying this for a while. I think Gus Bradley is a little bit of an ace up the Raiders' sleeve at this point, and for a number of different reasons. Number one, obviously the Raiders are hoping that by bringing him in, he gets that defense organized and connected and playing at a higher level. Some of the younger players get developed better. It's not just Gus Bradley. It's Ron Miles, the secondary coach, Richard Smith, the linebacker coach. Rod Marinelli is still there, and his track record speaks for itself. So this is a staff that's very, got a long track record in terms of development and, just success, putting together good defenses on a week-to-week basis. But also a couple other ways. Number one, I think players understand. You go play, if you're a defensive player and you go play for a Gus Bradley defense, chances are you're going to get put in a pretty darn good position to succeed. So now he becomes kind of a magnet to bring in, defensive players who just want to be part of that group and under his tutelage. And same with Ron Miles, Richard Smith, Rod Marinelli. But then also lastly, Sam, is just being able to identify talent. We've talked about this a lot. You go back to his days in Seattle, you go back to his drafts. I know it didn't work out in wins and losses in Jacksonville, although, who knows? You can make an argument that had you stuck with him, he would have the fruits of that hard work that they put in building a team might have been a lot different, or he would have been able to experience that, because it wasn't very long after that that all of a sudden Jacksonville became a pretty good team. It was fleeting, and there's a lot of reasons for that, one of which was, I think, that the group that they brought in to succeed him, they had some fleeting success, but ultimately they ran it into the ground for various reasons and alienated players that he drafted that are now starring on other teams, one of which is going to be on the Raiders, Yannick Ngakoue. So there was a lot of that going on, but he built that thing. And when you look at some of the defensive players that he brought in, and you have to believe that wherever he's been, including the Chargers, he's had a big say in, if not making the final decisions, arguing for guys, or bringing guys to the general manager's attention, like this guy will fit into the system. So in that respect as well, Sam, just that the ability to identify talent, let alone develop it, but identify it, I think is going to be a big boost for the Raiders.
No question. And that, I think, is like the hallmark of what he does, right? You look at what he did in Seattle. I mean, we talked about it at length, but again, a reminder, you know, that Legion of Boom defense, the D-backs, the linebackers, I mean, even the guys up front, I mean, those were a lot of diamond in the rough types, guys that weren't, you know, Earl Thomas, of course, was a, you know, kind of a can't-miss guy, but the rest of that secondary was guys that were underdogs, more or less, and the same with the linebackers. I mean, there weren't first-round picks in there. That defense wasn't loaded with first-round picks. It was guys that were drafted where they had certain traits or certain characteristics that Gus Bradley and Pete Carroll and that staff identified and were able to bring in and put, like you said, put in positions to be successful, and then they developed accordingly. And that same thing happened in Jacksonville. That defense, Vinny, that defense that Gus Bradley had built more or less in 2017 was right there playing for the AFC Championship. And it was the defense that got him there. That was the strength of the team. That season they were getting to the quarterback. They were making things happen in the backfield. And you look at what basically that defense, the defenses he's coached, even in with the Chargers, I mean, another very, very solid unit the last few years. They did everything that the Raiders didn't do under Paul Gunther, right? They got after the quarterback. They made plays in the secondary. They were able to force turnovers. There's kind of a hallmark. There are staples of Gus Bradley's defense, and that's why the Raiders brought him on, right? They knew what they had wasn't good enough, and you take a look at what they've been able to build throughout the course of this offseason. Again, they're not done. The draft is coming up in a couple weeks. I cannot wait for that. But it's going to be a new look unit, I think, in a lot of ways next season, this upcoming season, in terms of not only personnel, but the way the personnel is deployed. And when you with that in mind, the trajectory, I think, is upward. I think you're going to see this, these young players take a step forward, at the very least, based on having a semblance of a pass rush, and then develop additionally beyond that, just because of the presence, like you said, of Gus Bradley and Ron Miles, and what these guys do. So it's going to be a new look unit. Carl Joseph's going to be a part of that. He's going to have his opportunities to make his plays, and we're going to see how that shakes out. But I think, to me, that was definitely the Raiders' biggest concern this offseason. And so far, it would at least seem that they've addressed a lot of their biggest needs. And now it's about kind of fine tuning everything and getting into OTAs and really seeing what you have when they can get out on the field.
Yes, sir. And before we get out of here, a little bit of good news over the weekend. A little optimistic, we'll see. But I think that we're all headed in the right direction. Talking about COVID-19, talking about fan availability or participation next year across the NFL. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, actually it's been a little longer than a couple of weeks ago because time flies. But last month, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell put it out there that the expectation in the NFL is that everybody's going to stadiums across the country are going to be operating at full capacity. We're all keeping our fingers crossed, knocking on wood, that we're in that position, and not just forcing it to happen, but it happening because the science and the numbers warrant it. And that's really the big key to all this. But anyway, if you missed it over the weekend, Bill Hornbuckle, he is the CEO of MGM. And if you're in Las Vegas, you understand that the hospitality business is pretty big out here. And Bill Hornbuckle, at an event in conjunction with the Raiders, it was a kind of a food drive type of a situation over the weekend, hinted that, MGM is working with Governor Sisolak here in Nevada to make sure that Allegiant Stadium is up and running with full capacity Come football season, here is Bill Hornbuckle speaking at that event.
The governor is working on it. I think very soon we're going to begin to see hopefully the next stage. You know, we're all watching, obviously, what happens in the community in terms of infection rates and ultimately what happens in the ICU ward. But all that being said, trending in the right direction. We've been under 5% now for the last couple of weeks. And so, you know, I think we're getting there. I think it'll be a couple more stages, but I'm hoping by July 4th weekend, the community is at a place where we can just do what we do normally and have some fun.
Sam, that was Bill Hornbuckle, the MGM CEO, talking optimistically about the opening of Allegiant Stadium to full capacity in time for this season. You know, talking to the Raiders, they're obviously optimistic as well, knock on wood. No question, they have to adhere to whatever the state regulations are at that point. But you know, their hope is that Allegiant is going to be open, restriction free come August when the season comes around, preseason comes around. And I know that they understand, especially with the feedback that they're getting from fans, how everyone's just chapping at the bit to get inside Allegiant Stadium and really make it the home field that everybody envisioned here in Las Vegas that Allegiant Stadium was going to be. And you know, we've talked about this, Sam, how many times last year, sitting in an empty stadium in an important parts of games, and we're all sitting there wondering, wow, what would it be like if 65,000 people were in this building? I want to get your thoughts on that, but also, and Mark Bedane, the president of the Raiders, you know, brought this up as well. You know, when you think about Allegiant Stadium, you know, as fans, you know, they're thinking about, you know, getting in there and making it a rowdy, great environment, you know, for the Raiders, making a difference, as we've seen other stadiums be difference makers in key parts of the game just because of the atmosphere that it creates. And all of that is true. But when you think about Allegiant Stadium, this stadium, this deal, this partnership between the NFL and Las Vegas and the state of Nevada, there's financial implications as well. And this stadium is expected to be a driving force here in Las Vegas, and not just for the stadium, not just for the Raiders, not just for, you know, the people that run the stadium. But let's be honest about it. You know, people like Bill Hornbuckle over at MGM and you know, the Sands Corporation, everyone that has a vested interest in the hospitality business here in Las Vegas, having a stadium like Allegiant Stadium open full throttle throughout the course of the year. This isn't just a football stadium. This is going to have Super Bowls and Final Fours and events and concerts. And, you know, we could go on and on about what's going to be in there. And well, what does that mean? That means people are coming to Las Vegas. Yes, obviously the locals are going to be supporting it big time, but throughout the state of Nevada, throughout the western part of the country, and really even nationally, people are going to be coming in on weekends for big events and staying at the hotels and eating at the restaurants and gambling and drinking and doing all of those things that pump money into this economy. We're coming off COVID-19, and you know, everything, all signs are pointing up as far as getting back on our feet here in Las Vegas. But this place was going to be a strong financial influence as it is, but now coming off COVID-19 and the importance of getting back to strength here after, you know, what was really tragedy, people losing jobs, you know, the economy being obviously affected because the tourism industry took a big hit during COVID-19. That as well is an important part of this. It's not just what it's going to look like in there on Sundays, which we all can't wait, but what it means to this local and state is huge as well.
Yeah, Vinny, I think it's everything, right? I mean, you survey kind of the landscape, and the pandemic was devastating for everybody, right? Like that's not breaking news. Like, it was devastating for everybody, but this is Vegas. Like you said, this market relies on tourism and hospitality. That's a majority of the economy. There are more people work here in hospitality than anything else. And part of hospitality, part of, like you said, why people come here is for entertainment, for shows, for what they thought would be football games, for concerts, for events. And Allegiant Stadium was really a game changer, right? Like, when Beyonce would go on tour before, there wasn't a venue in Vegas that she could go perform at. And now there is, right? And now there are now a mega fight like Canelo Alvarez and Billy Joe Saunders down at AT&T Stadium in Dallas. Like that, they considered Allegiant Stadium, but Allegiant Stadium wasn't ready to have a full capacity of fans yet. So you think about the marquee events, boxing, UFC, concerts, like you said, Final Fours, WrestleMania, like whatever, you name it. This Allegiant Stadium opens the doors for all those possibilities to come to Vegas. And it's going to be – we're going to get this year what we thought we were going to have, you know, last year going into the season. And I'm really – I think it's even going to be amplified even more, because think about the excitement or the energy that people who – Raiders fans and fans in general of different events have built up, you know, cheering on their team from the couch the entire year when they thought they were going to be at the game. So – it's the perfect timing. I mean, really, I mean, it kind of needs to happen, and it's, I'm really excited. Now, like you said, we got to see where the pandemic's at. Obviously, we're all really optimistic. We want this to happen, but we're going to see where everything's at. But it feels, Vinny, living in Vegas, that things are starting to turn a corner here, right? Like the hotels are starting to fill back up. The cases are, it feels like it's getting to be more manageable. The vaccine is being more and more distributed. And it's like there's a glimmer of light at the end of this long tunnel that we as a country, we as a community in Vegas, we as a world have been just driving through, waiting for some kind of end. And Allegiant Stadium and the NFL, like if the Raiders having their full season here in front of full fans, if that's like the metaphorical sunshine at the end of the tunnel, then I'm all for it, right? Like if it can safely happen, then it needs to happen. And, you know, being at some of those games last year, right, like the really competitive, fun ones were going to be competitive and fun nonetheless, but like you really felt an absence of a crowd. Like football is a spectator sport. When you have 65,000 strong making noise and being into the game, like it makes the experience more fun for everybody involved, including us as journalists. It feels like there's more of an event going on as opposed to just a game being played for a TV audience. So it's hearing Hornbuckle say that, again, very optimistic, still cautiously optimistic, I guess is how I would characterize it. But there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and Vegas needs this more than ever, and really looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And with that, we'll wrap it up. I want to say thanks to all our listeners. The numbers have been great. We really appreciate the support. So tell your friend if they're Raider fan, NFL fan, we're here and we're available, as are all the podcasts that we do at Vegas Nation. Just download the app, Vegas Nation, go to our site, vegasnation.com. It's throughout the week. We put stuff out there, and that's obviously in addition to all the stories, all the videos, and everything we do covering your favorite team, the Las Vegas Raiders. Sam, thanks so much for the help and insight. We will talk to you next week. Special thanks to Larry Muir, our producer, always makes us sound good and gets us out to the masses on a timely basis. Really appreciate what Larry does. So we will talk to you guys next week. Also, thanks to Las Vegas Review Journal and Blue Wire as our presenter. We appreciate you guys. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Look for 7@7 local streaming news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Find it on your smartphone at the RJ app, or it's available on Roku TV, Fire TV, and Apple TV. Download the app and you're ready to go for 7@7.